I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more, but I found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business, hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com. Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. My store and closet name is El Ducho, E-L-D-U-C-H-O, and you can find me on Instagram as El Ducho Thrift. I'm really excited about this week's episode. I interview a full-time reseller, and she's also a friend of mine, and her name is Laura. She can be found on Instagram under Laura Von V, and from there you can find her Poshmark, eBay, and Etsy stores. You can also find her under the same username, Laura Von V, on YouTube. Laura is a full-time reseller living in Los Angeles and talks with me about her struggles that she's faced in reselling these past couple of years. She started out primarily selling vintage clothing, but most recently has made a shift to incorporating modern into her collection. I really hope you enjoy listening to today's episode. I apologize about my voice in this intro and outro. I'm just getting over a cold, so bear with me. With all that said, let's get into the episode. Hi, Laura. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Hi, Denali. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you on the podcast. We've been talking for a little bit about getting you on here and recording, but you and I are both so casual that we keep putting it off for another day, another night.
Exactly.
So
I'm glad you, because I'm in LA. I was like, please, I live in the city of like, let's reschedule.
Right. That's our West Coast showing, I think. So I was thinking about, back to when we first met this past year. I feel like I've known you for much longer.
Right.
But we met at the Bins, which is kind of a funny place to meet people in a state I don't even live in. Right. I was down in Los Angeles thrifting at the Goodwill outlet, and you and I were sorting our carts next to each other, and I kept looking over at you thinking, I wonder if this girl sells. And then mostly I was thinking, is she going to be cool if I ask her if I can go through her throwback pile? Which I think was like my first question to you, right?
Yeah, because I had thrown back a couple things that you picked up.
Yeah, I was like, are you? I felt like, I was at the dinner table, like, are you going to eat that? Which I remember one of the items I got from you, wasn't it like a Badgley Mischka? Am I pronouncing that correctly? Badgley Mischka coat?
I think it was, you picked up I threw back a YSL skirt, a vintage skirt that you were like,
oh,
what?
I got that from you?
I think so.
I know which one that is.
Skirt and a Free People something. Because this was, yeah.
Yeah.
This was, no, I was really.
Was it that? Is it purple? That YSL skirt?
Yeah, it's like striped.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I still have it. Oh. And I shouldn't have. I got an offer on it and I should have taken it. So.
Aww.
Here's the first lesson of the podcast. But that's okay. I can go drop the price on it. The note to self, I'm gonna do that later.
Well,
but
hey,
okay,
it was a heavier skirt, so maybe it'll sell now, because
that's very true. 'Tis the season for it. Yeah. We're in fall of 2019.
Also, is that creepy that I remember that? Like, is that like one of those like, do I remember all of
because it's creepier that I'm like, in my head, I'm like, no, there was a Badgley Mischka item too. You just don't remember it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go with that.
okay. So that's how we first met, for anybody who's curious.
And, you know, when I met you at that time, you were selling on Etsy and a little bit on eBay maybe, and then a little bit on Poshmark, but you've kind of changed things up since we've met. And so I thought that you would be a great person to have on the podcast to just talk about, you know, your past with reselling and kind of where you've been the past year and where you're going in the future. So with all that said, you know, my first question for everyone is, how and when did you first start reselling? So tell us a little bit about that, Laura.
Yeah. So I started reselling probably about 5-ish years ago. I was working at Nordstrom and had, you know, I was just going broke kind of thing, like living in a big city like this. And I wanted to make some extra money, and people were always complimenting my vintage clothes, because even though they want you to dress like trendy and cool at Nordstrom, I would always wear vintage stuff. So I would get a lot of compliments on that, or like people would ask me where I was from. And then I had a family member that was also selling on eBay, and she suggested to me that I should start selling on there some of that stuff. And so I took a really weird route, because I started researching vintage clothing, and this was like post Nasty Gal really like popping off, but still not to the point that it like kind of became. So I did, gosh, now that I'm thinking about it, it probably even had to be more than 5 years ago. But anyways, I started looking at that and thinking, okay, well, maybe I could do something like these girls that are doing stores, like actual, you know, like an eBay store that's very curated and has this like specific aesthetic to it. So yeah, I got inspired with that, and I sold watches at Nordstrom. So it was like a watch girl, like a watch shop girl. They made a movie about it and everything. I remember standing in the middle of the like little area and just writing down store names and, you know, thinking like, what would I call myself and all that kind of stuff. And so that was kind of the birth of my vintage shop. And then I jumped on eBay, and then I remember somebody messaged me on eBay and was like, hey, you should look at Etsy too, which I'm like, now to this day, I'm thinking like, did they work for Etsy? Why did they tell me to look at Etsy? So then I switched over to Etsy and, you know, just kind of went back and forth.
Okay. So you said that was 5 years ago when you were working at Nordstrom and you first reselling?
God, I'd have to pull up my Etsy and my eBay account. I think it would have had to have been longer than that now at this point, but yeah.
So, okay.
I'm really bad at time. Like, what is time?
No, I am as well. So at what point did you think that you wanted to go full time with reselling? When did it make sense for you, if it ever made sense for you?
Technically it really didn't make sense for me. And, yeah, it was one of those things, like, it was always a dream for me, but I was going at a pace that was like, I'm making decent money with this, with selling vintage, but it was a business plan that I could never really truly like figure out how I could make it happen. I was watching all these other girls that were, you know, full time and doing these like I said, like hyper curated stores. I don't know. It's kind of weird because, like, okay, I'll give you the, like, whole situation. But it was something that, like, okay, so I was making decent money doing that and then with Nordstrom. But unfortunately, at one point in time, my aunt passed away, and I was able to kind of come into a small amount of money that allowed me to make a decision to go full-time, technically, before I should have even gone full-time. Like, I kind of had like a safety net or a blanket that allowed me to kind of make that push and go full-time. And looking back on it now, I regret doing that wholeheartedly, because I wasn't as business savvy as I should have been to be able to make that decision. And yeah, it's just something that I don't know. I wish I could, obviously, I wish I could change the entire situation, but the money situation alone was something that I really wish I could go back in time and be like, yo, girl, let's really think this through. Let's feel a little bit smarter so, than this.
Do you think that you would have worked like at Nordstrom or wherever retail job you were at the time? You would have worked there longer while you were growing your business?
I think so. Yeah. I think that would have been the smart thing to do. But yeah, I don't know. I guess that's a good question. I never really thought like what would I have done if I, that wasn't a really good job for me again in the city that I live in. It was, you know, kind of, it was commission based. So it was a little cutthroat and it just, yeah, it wasn't the healthiest job that I've ever had. So I'd like to think that I would have done something different, but let's be honest, I probably would have stayed at Nordstrom and also done that.
And maybe not, you maybe wouldn't have started reselling or really thrown yourself into it.
Yeah, it was a little more on the flexible side. So I think that aspect is nice. And it gave me, you know, an insight into fashion and stuff like that. So that was also just as equally nice.
Okay, so you leave your job, you're starting to resell full time. At that point, you had been selling on eBay and you switched over to Etsy. Did you continue to sell on eBay or were you Etsy only?
I took a break from eBay for quite a while. And it was just strictly Etsy that I was trying to focus on. I was really trying to build that business up. And I mean, at this time, I hadn't discovered, you know, like I didn't know anything about the eBay world. Like I didn't realize that you could flip clothes that way or like it just didn't click in my mind yet. So I was literally just staring at these other people's stores, like trying to break their code. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the vintage community, but they're just not as like open, you know, like it's a very like you figure your own way out kind of thing. Whereas the reseller community is the direct opposite of that. You know, like we want to share everything. We want to lift each other up. And that's not to say that the vintage community doesn't want to do that, but it's just not as, it's just not as inviting. It's not as.
And I wonder, you know, I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I wonder if that's because, you know, when you are a vintage reseller, you're trying to find clothes that aren't being created anymore, right?
Yeah.
And so it's really competitive. Maybe it's competitive, I would think, to obtain the inventory.
Yeah. I don't know if that was something that was maybe created within the community at one point, like that, because I don't know. I guess I just think about it and I'm like, man, I never really have come into like a scarcity mentality, even with vintage, where I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to find it. Like, where is it going to be? Like, I could list like 10 different places that I could go to right now just to get vintage inventory. So I guess that, yeah, it's kind of weird. And especially considering now it's like, okay, so when I first started selling vintage, it was the 1970s that was in style. And now it's the 1990s that are in style. So I'm like, well, I mean, the 1990s is like, that wasn't that long ago. That fashion's very readily available.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO.
Okay, so what, you know, where are you selling now? What are you selling now? All of that.
So now,
and I know that that's, and I know that that's changed, right? Since, you know, we met
drastically.
In, yeah. I mean, we met in like, what was it? February, March, I think.
Yeah, I would say.
So not even that long ago, you know, where were you at earlier in the year and where are you at now?
So earlier in the year, I was doing pretty much just Etsy and Poshmark. Those were my two major focuses. I did pick up reselling probably about 2 years ago. I was selling almost full time on eBay and just dabbling with Etsy and Poshmark. So it like, I flip flop a lot, if you can already tell. I keep the money wherever it's at. kind of. But yeah, when I met you, I was really like, I was going all in again on trying to build up my brand. So I was really trying to make just the vintage work. And it's hard because out here there are still a lot of vintage sellers that, especially with like the markets and stuff like that, like the flea markets and stuff like that, there's still a lot of people who run these, you know, just standalone vintage businesses. But I really had to be honest with myself and be like, okay, well, I'm not them and I need to look at other outlets. So I ran into you and, you know, you encouraged me to get back onto eBay. So I decided to kind of reshift my gears and go back to all three platforms. Because why not? Money's money.
Why not?
And I want it.
Money is money, right? It all spends the same way.
Exactly.
Okay. So you're selling eBay, Etsy, Poshmark. Have you dabbled in other platforms? Because there are quite a few out there.
I know. Okay. I've always thought about Mercari because I feel like that, like, it seems like a lot of eBay sellers do eBay and Mercari, and that's like their main jam. So I have thought about that. The only thing with especially with my vintage stuff, because my photos are so, like, I try and go as, I guess, aesthetically pleasing as possible with my photos. So I try and make them look as close as what I can possibly get on a very low budget to, you know, like an actual store, like a storefront photo quality. So I feel like, you know, not that it wouldn't be okay to list it on Mercari, but I do feel like there are some platforms where it just doesn't quite like fit in, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah.
And I think honestly, eBay might be one of those platforms, but I don't know.
Oh, feeling like it doesn't fit in. Well, I was, you know, when you said it about Mercari, the funny thing that I thought about is that I've had listings in the past like flagged on Mercari because they'll say like that I used a photo, like intellectual property or something of somebody else's, but it was actually just my photo.
Like Poshmark,
my photo was just that good. I guess.
On Poshmark, I get a lot of people asking me, can you post a photo of the actual item? As if they're thinking that that's like the stock photo. And I'm like, no.
You're like, no, that's me in the photo. Yeah. That's me wearing the sweater, which let's touch on that a little bit, right? I know, again, earlier in the year, you were heavily doing this, but modeling a lot of your garments?
I do, yeah. So I primarily model, and then I also have a couple friends that when I'm okay, you know, with paying them to, I have them come through and model for me as well.
So how do you decide of your inventory? Because, and I guess we didn't mention it yet, but you are sourcing vintage and modern pieces, correct? Yeah. So how do you decide what gets modeled and what doesn't?
Right now, I'm really just modeling the vintage stuff. So anything else just goes on a hanger, which again, that's kind of inspired by you again, was like, okay, let's dial this back and maybe not stress too much about how good all my photos look. But yeah, I primarily just model the vintage. I tried really hard to but it was just, it was overwhelming. I was like, there's no way I'm gonna, you want to talk about like bottlenecking really quick. Like there's just no way to do volume at the same time as be aesthetically pleasing with all of that.
Yeah. So when you're looking for vintage, because I'm just thinking of the guests that I've had on this show, I think out of everyone, you are the one who does the most amount of vintage. you know, what are you looking for? Like, what's your style, right? Because certainly there's no shortage of decades to choose from or styles to choose from. What are you looking for your customers?
I try and keep it as on trend as possible. And also I try and be as realistic with what I have available to me out here. Mm-hmm. So I think out here, especially like the earlier eras, like, you know, 1940s, 1950s, you're going to have to really work hard to get that if that's what you're mm-hmm. looking for primarily. So I try and be as realistic as possible. And I do kind of still curate, but yeah, I look for, I just try and look for stuff that's on trend. I think stuff that matches what other brands are selling. Cause like, if you watch any of my YouTube videos or follow me on Instagram, you know that I talk a lot about the idea that, you know, all the companies right now are knocking off mm-hmm. vintage clothes. So mm-hmm. I kind of look at like, what are those companies making that I know is available in the vintage version? So mm-hmm.
yeah, I learned about that from you. Dupes. You call it dupes, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Like the makeup community calls the cheaper version of the stuff dupes.
That's funny. And when you say what's readily available to you in your area, I'm curious, what are you finding when you source?
I think 80s and 90s is the easiest for me to find.
Mm-hmm. And being that you're in Los Angeles, it's a warmer climate. Do you feel like you find pieces based on your climate?
Yeah, definitely. The winter months actually can be a little bit harder to source for. I only source at the bins for the most part, but every once in a while around this time of year, that's when I'll start to creep into the regular Goodwills because I'm like, I really need to find some jackets. And
yeah,
they're few and far mm-hmm. between out here.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about that a little bit, where you source. So where are you sourcing currently? Where are you getting inventory?
Pretty much just the Goodwill outlets. I only go to the one out here in Los Angeles. There are a couple other ones, but mm-hmm. I'm very fortunate to be pretty close to one of the really, really good ones.
Yeah. And so how did you find out about Goodwill outlets? I'm just curious.
So I actually found out through shout out to the bin pickers. And they know because I ran up to them the moment I saw them there. but yeah, I was literally
just, so it's from YouTube.
It was from YouTube. I was just doing a Google search trying to find other Goodwills to go to. Because mm-hmm. I felt like I was kind of tapped out in my area and I wanted to like go on an adventure. And
yeah,
they're one of their videos popped up and I was just like, what is this? And mm-hmm. yeah.
That's so funny.
Pretty much like, I mean, I'm not going to lie, they kind of saved my career.
Like, well, hey, okay. Time to send them a Starbucks gift card.
Exactly.
And just for fun, what's your best bins flip? Do you have a best bins flip?
Yes, I have. So my favorite one was one time I actually was given this item by a fellow bin friend that he doesn't sell. He just buys for himself.
Okay.
But he had a Moncler jacket.
Ooh.
That was like, it was just one of those moments where I was like, are you sure? Like,
did he know what it was?
I tried to explain it to him. I tried to show him comps.
Yeah.
But he's, I mean, there's nice people out there that just.
There, yeah. That's true. They have no interest in selling junk on the internet. Nope, so
have fun. Go ahead.
So what did you get for it?
I
can probably guess.
$800 for it.
Ooh, even better. Yeah. I was going to say $600.
No, yeah, it was a good one. It wasn't their like, it wasn't their regular padded one. It was like a duster style.
Oh, nice.
It, like lightly yeah. padded. Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, I have one in my inventory and I've tried it on a couple of times and it feels like butter. Like seriously, yeah. It's a really nice coat. I get why it has a like
right?
a huge price tag.
Yeah.
It makes sense now. Yeah.
Hey there. Thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast. And there's so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you. For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you.
Okay, so you're shopping at the bins. You're bringing it home to your big warehouse, right?
Segue there.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about your workspace. Yes. Do you have an office? Do you work out of the home? What's it like? Yeah.
So, this is probably one of the hardest parts for me. In a studio apartment. And it's pretty tiny. It's not ridiculously tiny. I'm actually really lucky in Los Angeles to have the size studio that I have. I want to say it's right around 600 square feet.
Okay.
So it's not, you know, there's still some space. I have like a kitchen area and, you know, but it's I pretty much, no matter where you stand in my apartment, you can see my inventory. There's no hiding it. So yeah, that's definitely been one of the biggest challenges for me.
And how are you storing it? Do you hang stuff? Do you put it in bins?
I put it pretty much in plastic bins, like the tubs. And I have that stacked. And it's pretty much just along my back wall right next to my kitchen table.
And how many pieces do you have in your inventory?
Right now I'm at just a little over 500.
Okay.
I do also, one of the other things that I'm super lucky about is I have two closets, which is also unheard of in a studio apartment. And so one of the closets is dedicated to jackets and stuff like that. So,
and I mean, are you maxed out in your ability to take in inventory? Like, is 500, like, it can't go above this?
I think it really just depends on how uncomfortable I want to get. You know, I keep telling myself, like, I still have wall space. I still have space that I could easily hide behind bins. Mm-hmm. And I really do think I'm going to try and push for 1,000. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but it's kind of just one of those things where it's like, if I want to get out of this studio apartment, I'm going to have to be uncomfortable for a bit.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe just start selling like tank tops only. You know, something really small. Yeah. Camisoles.
Exactly.
Just high-end camisoles. Just shoot for that. Yep. Okay. And I mean, have you thought about having an office space? And what is that even, I mean, what does that look like in LA? Is that even possible?
No. I mean, I've priced it out before and it would cost more than what I'm currently paying in rent, I think, just a tiny, tiny little room.
And even, what does it look like for getting like a storage unit?
That I could do. The only downside to a storage unit for me is just the ability to get back and forth from it. So I think until I max it out, like if I max out at 1,000 items, let's say, and I, you know, can't take it anymore, that's when I would probably get a storage unit. But right now it's maybe not as necessary as I would need, because unfortunately I'm in a residential area, but it still has like a very city vibe to it. Like, it's still it would be hard to get back and forth to it.
Okay. And you said that you've had people come in and model garments for you, which you've paid them, so that's kind of on like the level of almost having some semblance of an employee. Have you ever had outside help with your business, or is that something you've thought about doing?
No, I think right now I definitely do want to try and get a full-time model to come through and do just the vintage stuff. That has been something mm-hmm. I've been thinking about, trying to figure out a situation with that. The only problem is it would be out of my studio apartment. So it's like, mm-hmm. you kind of want to know the person that comes in and right. models. So right. yeah, I've been trying to figure that situation out. I think I'm a little ways away from getting an employee. Definitely thought about, you know, at what point does my boyfriend want to help me out? Can I prove to him that, hey, if you do this, maybe you don't right. have to there's work income. So much.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So in thinking about that, right, your boyfriend, you know, what do people in your life think about you reselling?
So as far as my family goes, I think they're actually really happy that I'm doing this mm-hmm. because when I originally moved out here, I wanted to be an actress, and I know my family was terrified of that. They were like, right. we don't know what that's going to look like. So I think they're just really happy to see me going after something that's a little more attainable. Is probably mm-hmm. the right word.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, oh, acting. I don't know about that. Selling used clothing on the internet. Now, there you go.
Yeah. That,
that's a job yeah. right there. All right. Okay. So in thinking about your business, and here we are at the end of fall 2019 and where you started at the beginning of this year, right? You've taken a big turn, big 180. Where do you see the future of your reselling business going?
That's a good question. You know, if you'd asked me at the beginning of the year, I've been so dialed into the idea that I wanted to make Shop Fawn V, which is the name of my store. I just, mm-hmm. I've always wanted to turn that into something. Like, I've always wanted to brand that further. But I think throughout the year, or throughout the last, you know, however many years, I've really had to ask myself some hard questions and, you know, try and figure out what that might look like. And I think I've come to the realization that I'm not very good at marketing. That's one of my worst qualities, I think. I don't know how to market myself, or, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just not, I guess I'm just maybe not as outgoing as I thought I was and that kind of stuff. And, mm-hmm. I think in order to make it in that world, you have to be really good at marketing, and you have to be so consistent with your presence online. And I think mm-hmm. one of the beauties of selling on eBay, especially, but just reselling in general, is you don't need to be good at marketing. You just need to mm-hmm. be good at working hard. And right. I think that's why I've shifted gears. And I think going forward, I think I've come to the realization that, like, yeah, I'd be happy if some of the things played out to where Shop Von V became something bigger than it already is. But I'm also yeah. just as happy with, like, having a good income, a healthy, you know, life with just being happy thrifting clothes.
Yeah. Well, and you're kind of touching on something that I was just thinking about, too, in that, you know, how your business has changed in the beginning of the year to how it is now, right, is a big shift, right? Mm-hmm. You're so heavily focused on vintage and building up that brand in the store. You know, did you have, I don't know, what did the shift feel like for you when you decided it was time to make a shift? I mean, like, was there a mourning period? Were you excited?
I think I was more excited because I had already quit doing the vintage at one point when I focused on eBay the first time around. Mm-hmm. But that was really the first time around was when I think I went through that mourning period. So like a couple of years ago, I already went through it where I was just so, I was really hard on myself for not letting it do what I thought it was going to do. And then this last year was me saying, okay, one more try. Like, let's really try and make this work. And it just didn't. And, you know, so I think this time around, it was a lot easier to shift gears and go back into it. just because I already knew, I knew what the grind looked like. Like I knew 10, 20 items a day, or you're not going to get anywhere. I knew, you know, all the stuff that went into it. And I had already gotten, you know, going to the bins can be hard to get used to. And I had already gotten used to that. So it was just, I think this was a really easy transition for me. Minus living in a studio apartment still.
Well, and you know, it's not like you've totally given up vintage, right? It still exists. It's still a part of your business model. It's just not the only part of your business model.
If it pops off the right way, cool. You know, I'm giving YouTube a try now. So at least that might help me market it a little bit more. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I skipped over a question and I just realized I wanted to come back to it, but, and maybe a lot of it is regarding your studio apartment, but aside from that, you know, what challenges do you face currently in your business?
Definitely. Yeah. The storage,
the space.
Yeah. I think that's the number one thing, but also I think it is really difficult to try and find a balance between modeling and, you know, taking the photos, because I take them all by myself, so, you know, doing that is time consuming, and then finding time to do the regular photos as well, like trying to even that out and kind of balance it has been really hard.
And so are you finding a method that works for you, or are you still
I'm trying to just ironing it out? Yeah, I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm trying to do modeling just one time during the week, but even that, I'm like, the, you know, there's this part of my brain that's like, come on, just take the photos real quick. Just let's not care about it. Let's just make that money.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess we haven't really talked about it, but you have kind of an impressive photography setup. Can you tell everyone, you know, what does your photography setup look like?
Yeah, I have the, you know, like I have the full length backdrop. So it takes up the entire back wall of my apartment. and I have a couple studio lights, so, and then I have, you know, a tripod and a camera and all that good stuff.
All in 600
all
feet,
in, yeah, square feet. All in 600 square feet. It's pretty crazy. Even looking at it right now, I'm like, oh my God, what did I do?
So you don't break it down, like, at the end of a photo session? No, you just kind it of, would, it's it always would up.
Never have anywhere to go. But yeah, I mean, and weirdly enough, in LA, it just kind of looks like decoration, because like that's just how people in Los Angeles, I think, they always have something random in their apartment that is their thing. But yeah, I mean, I talk about this a lot, I think, in my YouTube videos, but I'm obsessed with photography. Like it's a passion of mine. So it's not, you know, it's not something that I needed for reselling. It was something that I needed like for myself, kind of thing.
And so you have a camera that you use to take photos on? You don't use like your smartphone or anything?
No, yeah, I have a DSLR that I take all my photos on.
Ooh, fancy. Yeah. Nice. So do you put a lot of time on the back end into editing photos? Do you like brighten photos or anything like
that? Yeah, I've kind of over the years, I've kind of honed down my editing skills and setup, and now I just have everything just kind of set to like a one click kind of thing. So I just import the photos, I click a button, and it just does, you know, all the edits. But it took me, I mean, I spent years watching YouTube videos on that, trying to figure out, you know, I didn't go to photography school, but I definitely sat through what would feel like photography school to learn all of it.
Nice. Well, you're an honorary student. I'm sure there's some sort of degree for that. You know, in thinking about YouTube, right, you've mentioned that a couple times. You do have a YouTube channel, which everyone should check out. You know, where do you see the future of that going? You know, what sort of content do you want to be putting on your channel?
Right now, I'm honestly, when I first started it, a lot like my other, my reselling business, I was like, oh, I'm going to make this so pretty and it's going to be so cool. And like, and that quickly fell apart because I was like, that's a lot of work. Let's slow down here a little bit. So right now, I'm honestly just having fun doing haul videos, just showing what I pick up at the bins. There is a part of me that's like, I still, you know, I just want to be creative with everything. There's this part of my brain that's just like, have fun with it and be creative, you know, maybe not even from an aesthetically pleasing standpoint, but just from a, right. you know, it's artistic and it feeds the soul kind of thought process.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I've told you before that, you know, cause I watch your videos, that the quality of your videos, I think, is always so great. Even your haul videos, I think the quality of the video is really great.
Thank you.
And, but it has to take up a lot of time. Again, that's gotta
be. It does. Yeah.
A bottleneck. Just a little. The business as well. Yeah. Right.
I just have to put this out there though. I am very lucky that my boyfriend is in film. He does that out mm-hmm. here. So I got very fortunate that I have someone in my life that can kind of be like, oh, you just have to do that to make it look like that. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh yeah. That's really great.
Yeah.
Incredibly useful. Yeah. Now I'm like, I would love to have something like that. That's exactly why I don't edit any of my videos, because I don't have the wherewithal to fix anything. All right. Well, okay. So thinking back to when you first started reselling, because I mean, I feel like this past year has been a pivot, you know, in your business. You know, but thinking back on when you first started reselling, what would you tell Laura back then? Like, do this, don't do that. Be careful of this.
It would be a really long conversation. Like, I'd be sitting down with old Laura for hours and probably yelling at her. Yeah, I think, I mean, the obvious one would be don't quit your job so early. It would be mm-hmm. to figure some stuff out before you do that. Get a little more mm-hmm. business savvy. And be a little more realistic with some of your expectations. And I think also knowing and understanding that for some people, it's a right place at the right time kind of thing. And maybe your mm-hmm. right place, right time just hasn't shown up yet. So maybe that's something to remind myself of. Because I think that was one of my biggest downfalls over the years, was just like a why not me mentality. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah.
So do you think you're at the right place at the right time now?
I think I'm at a fun place right now, mm-hmm. and I'm really happy with where I'm at. I mean, I don't know. I think it's like what was that old Office quote? Like, or someone in the Office says this in like the very last episode, where it's like, you don't realize that I'm just going to butcher this quote, but it's basically that, you know, you don't realize you're living in the good times until you're looking mm-hmm. back at the good times kind of thing. And
totally. So, mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah. It makes me think of that, like when people say like, oh, you didn't know how skinny you were until you're like, you know, not as skinny as you used to be. that's my version on your quote. Sorry, I didn't watch The Office. I'm probably going to upset some people by saying I know. Don't worry about me. I'll have it for retirement. Yeah, I'll sit down and I'll binge it all then.
So take your time. I never watched Friends, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was never consistent with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's okay. No. Okay. Great. We won't even start on Seinfeld then. No.
We're just going to alienate ourselves.
People are already upset with us enough at this point. All right. Well, Laura, thank you so much for talking to me today and sharing, you know, a bit about your journey and, you know, some lessons that you've learned, because I think that a lot of us can relate to what you said about maybe jumping in too early or not making enough of a business plan or what have you. So thank you for being really candid about that. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on here. And
I enjoyed it. We will talk soon. Okay. Bye.
Thank you again to Laura for being on the podcast, and thank you so much for being so honest and candid about your journey. I think so many people will relate to the ups and downs that you've had and the reflections that you've made on your business. Again, you can find Laura on Instagram as shopvonv, that's V-O-N-V, and on YouTube under that same username. In the meantime, I hope you all have a wonderful week. Keep on listing and keep on selling.